ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 3, Text 21. Yadyadacharati Shreshthas Tattat Evetaro Janaha Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokastad Anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. Just as an aside here, I saw in the Hindi translation, the word always is translated as sadaiva, but it's a somewhat different meaning. It's more like it's a principle, rather than meaning at every moment. Anyway, people in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard Shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Now, this is the natural verse for the verse which most obviously comes to mind if we're going to speak about leadership, as we're having a leaders meeting today. I'd like to thank those among the leaders here who took the time out from their busy lives in service to Krishna, took the time out to attend the Shravan Kirtan camp that we just had in Dwaraka. I'd like you all to attend because I feel it's important that the Itaralok, they're all great devotees, but here the word is used, the other people or the ordinary people. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada used the term rank and file devotees. They'll be inspired by seeing all the leaders hearing and chanting and dancing together, and you'll also be inspired, and I'm also inspired. So thank you for coming. Now, as regarding leadership, I would like to read something from the ISKCON Law Book. And you probably won't find it as a book anywhere, but it's probably out there somewhere on the internet. I found this actually in the whole ISKCON Law Book isn't on the Veda base, but. It is, this part of it's in the Veda base. Okay, this says about an ideal temple president. An ideal temple president should possess or develop the following. Listen carefully. Must be a competent and committed manager who is honest and trustworthy. Can manage, organize, and conduct meetings. That's the most important thing, right? Meetings, is it? No. Has a service attitude. That's the most important thing. Respects all devotees and is able to work with others. Can communicate well and is able to motivate and inspire people. Cares for people. Must be expert in his or her area of service or possess a willingness to learn. Exercising, then there's a subheader, exercising the temple president's authority in engaging devotees according to nature. The temple president shall engage devotees according to their qualifications, propensities, and capabilities with the goal to provide a satisfying service which encourages a loving sacrifice to Krishna. The temple president and department heads shall provide adequate training for each devotee assigned to a temple service and strive to maximize the devotee's potential through further training and personal development. They shall maintain an open and supportive climate among the temple staff, inviting suggestions and explaining grievance channels. The temple president shall meet with each resident member when they join the temple and at least quarterly to ensure that they are effectively engaged in their service and are progressing in their spiritual life. Thus, the personal and spiritual career needs of the devotee can be monitored. So I hope you're all following all these things very carefully. I can add something to that. It could probably add many, many things to that. Some observation that the spiritual leader should have a good balance of strictness and kindness. Okay, so you all learn that right now. You just learn that. You should have a good balance. Actually, you don't learn it. It's a list, but you don't. Just like it says there, you should train the devotees, but no one ever trained the town presidents. Most of you learn on the job, isn't it? If you have a desire to serve Prabhupada's mission, and you have some innate leadership qualities, that's also important, because we hear in Bhagavad Gita that Shudra Karma Swabhavajam. There are different inherent qualities that people have inherited from their previous lives. So if someone doesn't have that inherent quality to be able to take the leadership, then you can go to thousands of seminars, but you won't be able to lead. So mostly devotees learn on the job by trial and error. There are many things you can't learn from books or just giving a list. The temple president should care for the devotees. Obviously, caring for the devotees has a very practical manifestation. Otherwise, if you just care for them but you don't make sure they get prasadam, just like we heard in one temple in Tamil Nadu, for months there was no prasadam for the devotees. And town president, you know about that, right? Town president didn't even know. So, he got his prasadam. That has a practical manifestation, but it's an attitude, is it not? So, you have all these management seminars. I'm talking about the karmis and how to develop your business and this and that, but I'm somewhat skeptical about all these things, all these managements, personality development, seminars. There are many things that you can't learn from books or seminars. Even if you theoretically learn it, you won't actually learn it. Just like you started that community there, yourself, Natak, and Tribhangananda, and Nityananda Krishna, you started. So you could have gone to a seminar before that, how to start a community. But everyone finds that. Everyone who goes to college, and they come out of the college, they may have been trained in whatever, say electrical engineering, then they get employment as electrical engineer, and they find they don't really know anything of any practical use. What to speak of, how to deal with the internal company politics and all this kind of thing. So there are all kinds of things that they don't, even if you go to an ISKCON management seminar, I don't know if they'll teach you about how to deal with internal politics in ISKCON, which is a factor that every leader has to face. And what about internal politics within the temple and the community? But these are very real things. So many things you could learn maybe by association, but you don't get that much association. You're there on the job, and it's really a matter of just doing your best. And tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. If Krishna gives the intelligence to someone who wants to serve him properly. Even we can say Srila Prabhupada, he himself said he was experimenting. He said that, I was experimenting. So how to he had the basic idea that he wanted to communicate, he wanted to expose American people to hearing the message of Bhagavatam. That was the main, in his prayer, which he composed on the Jaladutta, that was his main thrust. This is what he intends to do. He actually didn't mention that, he didn't stress the Harinam. He stressed hearing the message of Bhagavatam. So that was his overall idea, but exactly how that manifested, he never had any idea of hippies. He couldn't even imagine that such beings existed. But that's mostly who he ended up dealing with. So some things are learned by Krishna's grace, and other things, if you don't have it, you might not get it. Just like integrity. What's the translation of that in Hindi? It's difficult to find one word. It means sincerity, sticking to your principles. It includes all these things. Satcharitra, I guess you could say, but there's no real one word in Arjavam, maybe. There's no one word that corresponds to integrity. So if you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, it could become compromised by bad association. But it seems to be very difficult to get if you don't have it, even by good association. You may have experienced that in your, that even you're trying to help people, but they're just wicked by character or what's the word? Kutila, they're crooked. Yeah, crooked. they come with another kind of motive like that. You don't find that in your congregational preaching much, probably, because people like that won't be attracted to come to you. You don't have anything to offer them material. I'm saying to Radhesh or other congregations, you don't have anything material to offer them as you could get. There's no position. In a temple, there are facilities to live, there's position, there's power, there's influence, there's respect. So we have to be careful who we allowed to join. Srila Prabhupada several times said, don't allow these rascals to join and spoil the movement. He said like that. So you're not going to get it from management seminars. I listened recently to a series of lectures by one of my godbrothers, Mahatma Prabhu, in his memories of Srila Prabhupada. And in the course of those talks, he mentioned that he had listened to a whole series of lectures by Tony Robbins, I believe the name is. I'm pretty sure that's the name. Mahatma Prabhu said he's the guru of the management gurus. He's the original, the best, and the difficult to imagine he's ahead of Stephen Covey. Well, Stephen Covey's dead now, so. But anyway, Stephen Covey got very famous with that Seven Habits book. So he was a series of lectures. He listened to Muhammad and said Muhammad said he was laughing listening to him, because he said all the things. He learned all those things on going out on book distribution with personality development. You have to be, if you want to, you can achieve amazing things. Don't limit the possibilities. You can achieve. So in book distribution, it's like that. Someone, you know, some hippie who's only half literate or something. Or even up to the present day, people, they don't even know the local language and they go and distribute so many books. Again, I saw someone came to me in Bhopal. There's an elderly Bengali Mataji who can hardly speak Hindi, and she goes out and distributes books. In Hindi, of course, is the local language there. But she's old and she often forgets where she is and she doesn't know how to get back and like that. So her daughter was crying. But she likes to go out on book distribution. And of course we had our Acharya who we presume he can speak Dutch because he's from Holland, but his English was difficult to understand and he didn't know Tamil, and he was just selling, he introduced the selling of Bhagavatam sets in Tamil Nadu to all of you. Somehow or other, he convinced people, he couldn't speak their language, to buy sets of Bhagavatam. So the idea that you can do amazing, unimaginable things. Just start to think of it and you can do it. So you learn that on focus. You have to focus. You have to be completely focused. Well, that's a fact on book distribution. You can't do it unless you're fully focused. That's especially true in the West, where here in Gujarat, most of our books are sold, not because the people are interested in the books, but as a matter of piety, isn't it? Sadhu comes and they'll give a donation. It's like that. Is it not? In Gujarat, at least it used to be, especially among the more middle class, upper class, they don't mind giving 100 rupees or something like that. When you go in the poor areas, I don't know, but in the West, it's often maybe not so much now, but it literally used to be almost a fight to distribute books, and sometimes people would actually punch you, or you get arrested, and they'd give all kinds of smart things people will say how to avoid taking the book, and you have to be smarter than them. And Krishna gives the intelligence, because that happens with karmis too, that if you really focus, Krishna will give you the intelligence to do all kinds of amazing things. The only difference is that what you don't do in Krishna consciousness is all completely useless. That's a very big difference. But Krishna gives intelligence to materialistic people also. Srila, maybe you saw this, Sadaputa wrote an essay called On Inspiration. And he spoke about how it often happens, it's the Eureka experience. Someone's thinking and thinking and thinking about a scientific problem and they can't solve it, and they goes on for months and all they're doing is thinking about it day and night. And then suddenly, it usually happens when they're not thinking about it, they get it. It just comes in their mind. And there was one, that's where the term Eureka comes from, because such and such a philosopher or mathematician in ancient Greece was sitting in his bath, so the story goes, and all of a sudden he got it, the problem that he was trying to solve. And he called out Eureka, which means in English, Eureka, whatever that means in Greek. And there was someone else who discovered the structure of the benzene molecule, because no one had, which is shaped like a hexagon and is formed of carbon only, but at that time no one had ever thought of molecules being in anything but in chains, maybe with branches. So he was thinking and thinking and thinking, and then in a dream he saw a snake with his tail curved up and going back into his mouth. And then, he got it. And there's another one, Sadaputa wrote, that someone was just getting on the bus and all of a sudden, boom, he got it. So Prabhupada said that he described in... So Sadaputta was saying this inspiration comes from the super soul. And Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada said that, this rascal, he's trying so hard, okay, let him have it. Like that. So it happens for karmis also, that Krishna will give some inspiration. He'll give the intelligence. So all these things, the Tony Robbins, he was speaking about how you have to, everything has to be centered around your goal. Even your eating and sleeping, it all has to be regulated. You just can't eat, binge out. You have to eat in a way that's conducive for fulfilling your goals. You can't sleep too much. You should sleep, don't sleep too much, not more than 6 hours. They usually say all these things. I can't remember exactly. But that we got that from doing Sankirtan, from doing book distribution. It works the same way. If you eat too much, you can't do book distribution properly. If you sleep too much, you can't do book distribution properly. So Mahaprabhu said how you could get all these things. So you can say these things and maybe you can think about it. Here's another one, that the leader has to be... He can be strict, but he has to be more strict with himself than with others. Otherwise, it won't work. If you just try to discipline others, but you don't follow yourself, then people won't follow. You have to, in a spiritual organization, you have to be strict, but then you have to be more strict with yourself. Here's something interesting I heard last night. One devotee told me some of his relatives are initiated in Bombay by Radhanath Swami, and they have I don't know if all of them do it, but he said his brother-in-law or something like that. They want to get the children to chant japa. One round, two rounds, three rounds. So if they don't do it, then either the father or the uncle, what was that? The uncle, he doesn't eat that evening. He punishes himself. He doesn't punish the child. Punishes himself. He said, I'm feeling so sorry you didn't chant, so I'm not going to eat. And then they feel, oh! And they feel guilty, and then they'll chant. So that's techniques. You can learn techniques. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn anything. For instance, if you're a leader and a manager, it would be useful to know something about accounts. You may have an accountant. But it is something that you should be knowledgeable of, at least to some extent. And things like, just like I saw in the office when I was here just before going to Dwarka, all the receipt books that were printed for collecting for Rath Yatra are left in the office open. That's not a very good idea. You should look. Bhopal, I also told you the same thing, right? Don't leave receipt books out. Otherwise, someone can take them and then collect in the name of Rath Yatra and put all the money in their pocket. A receipt book is it's wonderful for a thief. So there are things you have to learn, and often you learn by bitter experience. But there are practical things you have to learn. Also, so I'm not saying you shouldn't learn anything, but a lot of things you learn on the job, is it not? Krishna gives intelligence. And of course, it is helpful if there are devotees who have had that experience, who can share that with you and help, but everyone's an individual. And exactly how each person manages, there's no such thing as an exact, correct way of dealing with people, because everyone's different, including the different leaders are different. So what works for one person may not work for another person. So someone may be a very flamboyant, outgoing type. Some town presidents might be quite quiet and withdrawn, and you may not even hardly notice them, but they just talk quiet. I've seen. They just talk quietly to all the leaders, and they do all the things, all these departmental heads, as is used here. Now, here's something, some practical point that I've been thinking about. The importance of strategy means we have goals, right? The overall goal is we want to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Okay, that's a very broad goal. Then within our area, we want to make the whole of the city we're in Krishna conscious, or the district, or whatever. So how do we do that? Now, I was just in Mangalore, and the temple president of one of the two temples there. There are two ISKCON temples in Mangalore, not including the Ritvik temple. So 2.5, you could say something like that. So he told me, as I knew, he'd spent years and years and years preaching in Manipal, which is one of the prime educational locations in India, right, Keshavananda? You studied in Manipal, right? And there's tremendous scope for making devotees there. So he spent years and years preaching there, but he was unable to, he doesn't preach there anymore, there are various reasons for that. But he was unable to build on his preaching because most of the students came from North India, and then they went back to North India, so he was unable to build locally upon that. I often mentioned how you used to do on the trains the Ayappa book distribution during the Ayappa season, which corresponds, or by luck or whatever, it's with the Christmas marathon season, the December marathon season. So it's good book distribution, but it's all distributing books to people who it's not going to develop Salem, the local preaching. Now you're doing it in colleges, which is much more focused. And there's no harm in doing book distribution to the Ayappa people in the trains, mostly all from the Andhra-speaking area. There's no harm, it's great, let them get books, but it doesn't, as a matter of strategy, it doesn't develop the local preaching. There's no harm in preaching in Manipal to all the students who go back to North India, and Mangalore, Manipal is in South India, but it doesn't develop the local preaching. So it's a matter of strategy. In the Telangana Padyatra, you told me that they wanted to just wander around Telangana, but you were saying, well, why don't you go around the farm? And then you can preach to the same people and develop them. But it's just wandering here and there, which is, in a way, it's good, but you don't develop anything. So the same effort, if it's concentrated or it's strategized, then you can get a better effect. You all know the name of Radhe Shyam Prabhu from Pune. Actually, he's not from Pune, he's based there. Brilliant strategist. He's had unprecedented and previously unimaginable success in targeting boys in the colleges, bringing them into Krishna consciousness, making them brahmacharis, sending them out to preach, and it just goes on expanding. So it's not just that he is a very committed, dedicated, pure-hearted devotee. And many of the devotees, just like Telangana Padyatra, that's Srinivas Sevananda, he's committed, dedicated, pure-hearted. But his strategy is not going to develop preaching. It's sowing seeds, but we also have to make a plan to, you know, as those of you who are doing farming knows, it's not just a matter of sowing seeds. If you only sow the seeds, people would think you're a very strange farmer. If you don't make any plan how to look after the seeds and how they later come up, and you have to take the weeds out and then take the crop. So, these are just my observations. Just a few observations. I'm making some random observations here. It seems to be an obvious point, but everyone can take note of it, that the visitors who come to our centers, we should receive them very well as possible. And then they'll voluntarily help in various ways. We should think everyone who comes in, there should be, if you only have 3 or 4 devotees in the temple, it's difficult to deal with everyone, but it is a point of major importance that people come. Now, of course, they may come to the arati and just go away, but there should be some prasadam for everyone. Srila Prabhupada, around 1976, sent a letter to all the centers of ISKCON, said, everyone who comes to our temple should get prasadam, hot puri, sabji, and halava. So at least everyone should get some prasadam. And if they do this, people, they, as Prabhupada said, they feel obliged. If you give them some prasadam, they feel, oh, now I have to do something. They're feeding this to me. Now they feel obliged. And the kind of attitude, and of course it should be given, not just, take it. Of course not. Should be given with respect to everyone, even if they're the very lowest class of person. We should actually, of course, when we're in our preaching, as a matter of strategy, we often go to the rich people who can help, and we can think they're more influential, but it is, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching that we should treat everyone with respect. We want everyone to become a devotee. So I saw from Bhopal that came to Dwarka. I didn't see the husband, but the wife was there with her child. They were mazdoor, they're daily workers, coming and working on the construction. And devotees, I don't know exactly what happened, but presumably devotees treated them well, and then they became, they're devotees now. You were also saying, you told me yesterday that in Salem that you treat the marble workers and everyone very nicely and give them nice prasadam and everything, your workers who are working on the site. And then after 1 week, they told you, actually, you treated us very nicely, now we're not going to cheat you. Otherwise, we will cheat you at every step. They said openly. So it's a good policy to treat everyone well. We shouldn't have to say that, but it often happens that in the course of our activities, we're so busy, and it's... of course, not possible for every single person to interact with every other person, but if there's some system, just like you have Naikatma, isn't it? His job is to be there and greet the incoming guests. And it's great, because if you go out to meet people, that's all right. But when they're there in your place and they're open, they've come there to see you and what you're doing, and you can influence them. They're more open and ready. And if you treat them well, they'll remember that, because mostly no one treats anyone well anywhere nowadays. It's better here in Saurashtra, actually. The people are, in general, better than in other parts of India or in other parts of the world. But that's changing now also with the influence of Kali Yuga and the influence of Bollywood and the influx of people from all over India for the industries in this area. But generally people are very, in their general dealings, very well behaved. Oh, I'd said there's a Prabhupada quote about not allowing the rascals to come in. Here it is, I wrote that down. Prabhupada said, politics, diplomacy, fraud, cheating. If these things come within our movement, then it will not be successful. There must be checking now that all these rascals may not join and spoil the movement. You should not admit them. We should be careful who we admit. There's You've all had experience. Anyone who's been around for some time, you've had experience with rascal types. Actually, again, I think not so much in Gujarat, not so much. Somehow or other. Pious people. Of course, there are such types also, but somehow or other, there hasn't been so much problem here in Gujarat. But generally, we'll find some people who come, but they have another motive. They actually have some ulterior motive. I think Keshavanand, you also may not have had any severe rascal types. You have had. Okay, all right. I mean, not within your own group. I'm talking about. So we should be merciful, but sometimes we can be merciful to people by showing them the door, so they don't make more mess. That's a big subject. How to deal with when you discover someone's not really doing it all for Krishna, or they're doing it significantly for their own sense gratification or whatever. It's difficult, no doubt. It's not an easy service, because it's just like people, Srila Prabhupada used to quote, they want the kingdom of God without God. So they want everything should be well managed, and all the facilities are there for them, but they don't want to follow any authority. So it's like wanting the kingdom of God without God. Something like that. And then you get all kinds of types who are very good at expressing their opinions, but not very good at anything else. You ever had experience like that? Advice gratis. That's a quote from Prabhupada. They'll just give advice, but any service, they're not very interested. They're very good at telling you what you're doing wrong, but they won't do anything themselves right. So you have to deal with that. That's common, isn't it? Everywhere. And you have to be careful, because it can be very destructive, because they go around talking, this one's doing, this is wrong, this is not right, blah, 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 and talking. Why are you doing all this service? You're not getting paid. This and that. So many people with so much commentary, and they can, but they won't. They have no practical contribution. So we have to. It's very difficult. Apparently, you can't stop this. In one of our leaders' meeting, we said, "What do you do about people who join our community? Then they go away and they start talking so many bad things." It's very difficult. You can't control it, actually. It's out of your control. We should be open to constructive criticism, but then there are others who just, it's destructive, actually. They don't have any motive to improve any situation. They might think, well, I'm a Brahmin, so I just give advice. Srila Prabhupada showed this standard for a Brahmin, is not just to give advice, but to be very active in Krishna's service. And we have the example of Haridasa Thakur, that he was preaching, but he was also chanting. He's preaching and acting. Whoops. So, be careful. Don't allow this. Don't allow people just to talk and destroy. It's very difficult to control. Sometimes you have to make it clear to others that such and such a person is bad association. Oh no, Prabhu, he's a devotee. But you have to make it clear, they're bad association. Because they actually spoil, we've seen in many cases, they spoil others' spiritual lives by misleading them. And we see that many good many good leaders. We don't find that in India so much, because being a temple leader is quite a position of some... It's quite a lucrative position, maybe not in terms of money, maybe in terms of money also, but you have prestige, you have your needs taken care of, and this. But in the West, hardly... It's very difficult to find anyone who wants to be a temple president, because you have all the responsibility. Often you don't have any support from above, from the GBC, except only in a very nebulous way. And you have all people all around you telling you what you should do, and they don't do anything themselves. So who would want to do such a job? So there are a few thoughts for today. There are so many things could be said about this. Oh, actually, I had a whole bunch of things. So many things. I forgot to take this. Forgot to take this out. Whoops. Oh yeah, it's the same points as here. All right, Hare Krishna. That's all for now. Any questions, comments? Protests? No. All right then, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kipasindavyavachapaditanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.